This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
529-20.
Kind of a different funk to the morning start.
Yeah, I don't hate this.
I'm not against it.
No, it's a little Dave-ish, you know, a little Dave Matthews. And you said the song last night to listen to from Dave Matthews. I obviously didn't have the opportunity as I was running all over Dodge yesterday, doing things with the kiddos and soccer,
right,
and cheerleading and all that. But it's got that Dave vibe to it, like really just kind of chill, you know, grab yourself a cocktail, sit on the patio a little bit, just kind of enjoy some live music kind of vibe to it this morning.
Yeah, this feels like an early crowd pleaser.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Like we're Jonas Brinks and the guys. Welcome to Libations.
Something
conservative,
yeah,
before they start really hitting the brass.
Right.
Where you know you're going to get the, ooh, I like this vibe. You're like, well, keep sipping.
You know,
it gets a little bit more rowdy.
It kind of reminds me a little bit in a very small way of Anchorman, where he's at the jazz club, and he's walking around playing the jazz flute on the table.
Stomping on tables.
Yeah, that kind of vibe to it a little bit. And the more it goes, the better it sounds, and the more fun you're going to have.
Cody, come make me a cocktail, clown. Now I get into Wedding Crasher. Either way.
Because
he does that on his show. Yeah. They do that club thing, and he does the drinks.
Right, yeah.
That's the only reason why. The clown was harsh. Make me a bicycle clown. I don't know how to make a bicycle, man. I do balloons, animals.
Oh, gosh. Well, it is a lovely Tuesday. Apparently, it rained last night. Apparently, it stormed. I don't know.
I didn't hear a thing.
I didn't either. And my wife this morning is like, it rained. The dog was sleeping in the bathtub last night. I'm like, oh, God. I mean, we're to this point now with the dog. And I don't know if you have it with yours or whatnot. Like, what do you do, man? The anxiety has been through the roof with these storms for this poor thing. I just don't know anymore. You pop him a gummy or something? I mean, I'm left to, like, I just don't know how to handle it anymore. I feel so bad for her.
I don't know, like, what would you, like, the only thing I ever think about this, because I had a friend whose dog was like that. It would, like, crawl into, like, really small areas.
Yeah.
It was like it was like a lab pit mix. So we're talking
about. That's kind of what we have, a lab pit mix. Yeah.
Talking about, like, a 75, 80-pound dog.
Yep.
And, like, would find itself, like, under, like, he had a shed that we would drink in, and the dog would go under, like, the tool shed.
Uh-huh.
Like, a small area. Like, you could imagine what that was like.
Right.
And it would be, like, an hour before the storm would hit. Like, they could just hear it coming.
Yep.
And I don't know. The other thing I think about is, like, what would be your safe place?
Yeah,
Fesco Canine is just in the shower.
Well, the bathtub. Like, we actually only have one tub in our house, right? The rest are just kind of walk-in showers in the bathroom. And one tub, she goes in and she just kind of hides in there, or it's underneath a chair that she has found and whatnot. But you're right. Like, an hour before the storm, it really starts. Like, last night, about 8 o'clock, I'm like, let's go out one more time before bed. And no chance she was going outside. She could sense that thing was coming a mile away. And, you know, it did. And so you're right about the safe space. For me, I guess my safe space, I don't know, probably the basement. I've only had to go down there. No, safe. The garage isn't safe. That wipe it off the side of the house with those storms.
Right.
But I think in the basement, I've only had to go down there one time. And it was years ago when that tornado rolled through. And I was scared to death. I mean, it was pretty frightening. I'm not going to lie, sitting down there in that basement. But 20 minutes later, it was over. And, you know, you were kind of about your way, but I would never think of getting in the bathtub, you know, if I was a dog or anything like that, or a human for that matter, let alone, you know, the animal hiding in a tub. I just, just bizarre for me. What's your safe space?
I don't know if there is one.
No?
Old house, man. Built in like 1955, a closet.
Yeah.
That boards another closet. Like, we have a friend that lives up the street. He's got a gorgeous house made of like all stone. And like classic downtown area of Lee Summit. And I'm like, man, if we ever get like a serious warning, I am hightailing to your house.
Yeah.
Basement made of stone, not going to get any sort of damage to that place. So I was like, I don't have anywhere to go in my house. Like, it's one level. There's a crawl space. No chance.
Yeah, no chance on that. No
chance. Am I going down there? Haven't been down there except for maybe once to look in to see if the air filter's fine, and boy, it was fine.
Was it fine?
It was good, man. Yeah. Like, I'm not into crawl spaces.
No.
None of that stuff. So, no, I definitely wouldn't be like the uncle on the patio recording the storm.
Right.
But, I didn't hear – I mean, I got up to use the restroom last night, and it was pouring, but I didn't hear any, like, you know
– thunder or anything like that. I guess north of us is kind of where the storm went. So hopefully everybody's safe, and you know, you're about your day and doing everything safe over there, wherever you were, if there were some storms last night. But, we got spared, they like to say, of those storms.
7-10.
So, yeah, exactly. 7-10 split. Yeah. Pick it up. You could do that at Foaling, too, if you kind of flip the football on the left side of that 7-10, kick that thing over, knock that 10-pin
like
down.
Don't act like you've done that before.
I haven't, no.
Yeah. Like, you're giving professional advice.
I'm trying to give you the Foaling advice the best I can. Please help me out here. No, it's fun. Like, you know, with the football, it's probably easier with a football maybe than a baseball. Like, that 7-10 split's got to be one of the hardest things to accomplish in
bowling
sports.
Ball.
You know, yeah. You think the bowling ball's harder?
Yeah, than a football?
Yeah, than the football.
I mean, in football, you got, like, uneven sides. You could bounce around. Like, bowling ball, you got, it's a rock.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's
and
just
it's,
going
it's
straight.
Hitting, and you got to hit it at a certain... I did watch bowling Sunday, I think.
Yeah.
Sunday or Saturday. I can't remember. Blurred weekend.
Yeah, right.
But I remember they had bowling on at like 11 o'clock, and it was like team
night
bowling.
Or morning?
Morning.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
11 a.m.
It was like team bowling.
Oh.
And they were just playing the I Can Make Your Hands Clap.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd in sync doing
God.
It. I'm like,
the whole time?
Whole nerd event.
Oh, my.
Oh,
the whole
yeah.
time?
Not the whole time, but like during the first couple bowlers, that was song one, and they were in unison.
Okay, very good.
This is bowling.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I've got to check this out.
Mm-hmm. I tried to get my kid to do college or high school bowling, and she's like, nah, I'm not doing that. I'm like, why? Kling's kids did it. Everybody's kids are doing it.
She'll be in a locker by 2 o'clock. Give me your money, nerd.
Yeah. They don't do that anymore.
That's
I try
good.
To scare
That's
them.
Good.
I said,
yeah.
Are you like, because my other daughter's getting ready to go into high school. I go, you worried about getting locked in a locker, your head flushed in the toilet? She's like, no. I'm
no,
like,
hopefully
oh,
it's
boy.
Out. Yeah.
Yeah, those were our scary moments when we were going to high school back in the day. Oh, you're going to get hazed. And back then it was good for you. It toughened you up. Now,
yeah.
now it's no, you can't do that kind of stuff. So,
so I was mesmerized yesterday because I was having a conversation with somebody about one of the text line texts we got yesterday. Like, and it stuck with me. It wasn't like an evil text or anything like that, but it was somebody that was like, hey, we realize the Royals have won 6 games in a row. The Chiefs have drafted, you know, maybe future players. And it seems that everybody's talking about Shedeur Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just doing my homework yesterday, went to this show, nothing but Shedeur Sanders. Went to Twitter to see other shows where guys have worked here before, Parkins, Breakfast Ball, Shalareth, all those guys, Shedeur Sanders. Like, I don't know if I've ever seen, like, a draft day carry over to a Monday where the same story. You hearing that BB noise,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, okay.
I don't know what it is.
I don't know either. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, it was a draft day. Everything's
it's
fine.
Driving me nuts.
But, yeah, just it's you know, it's the crowd in the ninth inning. You got to
yeah,
keep
right,
the reporter going.
Buzz, yeah.
Stay on the mound. Stay focused, as Mitch would say. But, yeah, so, like, and I see all this happening yesterday, and I was just kind of captivated that it took all weekend, so we got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday,
right.
and Monday,
mm-hmm.
and here we are Tuesday still reacting. I know we're not going to go into depth about talking about Shedeur Sanders Day, but I was kind of captivated that, like, one man was the story of everything, and it was from teams to discussions to handling the prank call like a professional. I thought that was kind of a small note that we overflew. Maybe the only one that Shedeur gets credit for.
But he was also live streaming everything,
correct.
Which is part of the reason why he wasn't drafted until the
right.
fifth round. Everything's about his show. Everything's about look at me,
yeah.
me.
And I thought the one thing I took away is that everybody got it wrong. Like everybody got Shedeur Sanders wrong.
Yeah.
Including his own father.
Yep.
Like fifth round. A year ago today, we're talking about him and Hunter maybe going one and two.
Yep.
And fifth round, and not one person was like there were some people that were like, you know, throwing their hot takes, spitting takes, saying, hey, I think he's going to go day two. I don't think he's going to go day one. Okay. And that was kind of like, ooh, that's kind of a good one. Okay. Because Pittsburgh might draft him, New Orleans might draft him. Not one person. And I thought Danny Parker said it perfectly. He goes, we all got duped. Everybody got duped. Not one person, not one insider, not Rappaport, not Scheffler, not Schefter, none of them were like, hey, from what we're hearing, he could fall third, fourth round. It was like every day, and we know Mel Kiper was there, and then Monday, everybody's like, I don't know what happened. I still can't explain it.
Yeah.
And other than the fact that, like, what we hear now from sandbagging interviews, because I don't want to go here, I'm just going to, you know, shrug it off, and to attitude and all this stuff, it's like, Nobody wanted that.
No.
And I thought that was really kind of like interesting yesterday to hear that, because where we're at in today's world of sports, like sometimes the flashiness sells, right? Like, I think Caleb Williams is good for Chicago. He's not your average quarterback that's going to come to the league and be, you know, Will Levis, who was built like a brick you-know-what house. Mm-hmm. Here's Caleb Williams, you know, does this sort of thing, has this sort of vibe. Here's Shedeur Sanders. Zero part of it.
Yeah, nobody wanted any part of Shedeur Sanders, and I can't say that I blame him. You know, it's a distraction. He's a distraction. His dad's a distraction. The whole process, the whole year, has kind of been a distraction when it comes to Shedeur Sanders. And Boomer Esiason, at one point yesterday, when I was listening to a little bit what he had to say about this whole Shedeur Sanders situation, he said there were many general managers that took Shedeur Sanders and many owners that took Shedeur Sanders off their board. He wasn't even a consideration for them and for certain teams. And so I think when you have teams taking you off the board at some point during the draft process, you know it's not a good situation. Teams are willing to go out there and deal with distractions when it comes to players if there's uber talent, if there is a level of, oh my God, this guy's going to change the organization. Shedeur Sanders isn't that guy. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and change an organization, but he is going to bring that kind of sideshow along with him. And in the NFL today, in professional sports and life in general, nobody wants that distraction. Nobody wants to deal with that employee that is bigger than the organization or thinks he's bigger than the, however you want to, you know, paint the Shedeur Sanders situation. You're bringing in someone that you know already has baggage. It's one thing to have somebody on staff or somebody in your team and something happens once they're there. You work through that with them, right? You're like, all right, let's figure out a way to get through this situation. We like you as a player. We like you as a person. Something's not working here. Let's help you as a player. Mm. But you don't want to bring that problem into your organization, because Shedeur Sanders is an okay quarterback. He was fine in college, did his thing, right? I fell back in love with the game because of Shedeur and Dion and Travis Hunter and Colorado and everything that went along with it. So I am a little biased in this situation, but I also know how these GMs think. You better be uber talented, like to a level of the nth degree, before they're going to bring you in if you have baggage coming into a situation. Teams don't want to deal with baggage. Teams don't want to deal with guys that are carrying those bags. And they're like, you know what? We can find a guy that's just as good, if not better than you, that doesn't have this kind of circus, if you will, following him around. And were we duped? I don't know. I just think they did a great job of marketing him. Dion did an unbelievable job of marketing his son. And that's what a father's supposed to do, right? He did everything he possibly could to set his kid up to have success, right? And this is the first time now he couldn't control the narrative, obviously. We see where he is, but as a dad, maybe he went a little bit too far with trying to promote his son.
Yeah, he could have lost some credibility, too, in the hype. Because it's like, well, remember how you hype? Because you didn't have to hype up Travis Hunter.
Right.
Travis Hunter was the best athlete on the field last year, clearly an obvious one, the award for it. But yeah, I think now we can finally, like, I think now we're finally to the point where we can bury it. It's over with. It's been the weekend. It's been the Monday reaction. And now it's like, all right, we'll wait until, you know, it'll be a highlight when it's Cleveland playing somebody in spring, or not spring training, but in preseason week one. We'll know when he goes on the field.
I wish you were right about that. But we've talked about Aaron Rodgers so much in the last 2 years for a guy who's barely played, right? Because he moves the needle. Shedeur Sanders is one of those guys that moves the needle. I feel like there's going to be a Shedeur Sanders topic every day in the national media leading up to basically the start of the season, because he does move the needle. He does get clicks. He is a, I don't know what the right word, an interesting player, right? Like something that people are interested in, right? It's human nature. It's that human story side of things. Just like with this Belichick stuff that continues to come out about his girlfriend. I clicked on about 10 different articles about that situation the other day because it was so interesting and compelling. And I think Shedeur Sanders is there. I think he's compelling. I think the Browns quarterback room is compelling because you just don't know what they're going to do in that situation. And Shedeur is going to be the most talked about guy most likely coming out of that draft. You got to feel for Cam Ward, by the way. Nobody mentioned that guy's name. Number one overall pick in the draft, and immediately was on to Shedeur Sanders.
Might be a blessing in disguise.
Maybe.
Especially
maybe
with what comes to be the first overall pick, especially at quarterback position, as we saw with Bryce Young. Maybe Cam Ward gets to fly under the radar, and then all of a sudden, week four or five, we're like, yeah, remember this guy? He was the number one pick. No, I don't.
Yeah.
But now I do, because you know what? He got a little bit of a scapegoat in what was Shedeur Sanders.
Right.
Somebody who is the complete opposite, might be the best baseball player this guy has ever seen. Yes, he plays in Kansas City. We'll talk about it next on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Whoever that bozo was doing the armpit fart thing, come on, man.
Catch Royals insider Josh Fournier every Monday at 8:20 right here on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5, The Fan.
There's the show open.
There it is.
Welcome
baby.
Back into it. We are here. We are not. We're not axed yet. Text line. We're fine. Somebody says, "Oh, thank God, I was listening to the national show and thought you guys got the axe." No, we're good for now.
Please don't compare us to a national show. We're actually talented. Oh wait, was that out loud? I'm sorry.
Good hell.
Other than Ben, I mean.
Tuesday confidence.
That's right. Walking in like Jim McMahon, baby.
Yeah.
Or not Jim McMahon, Vince McMahon.
Yeah. I mean, Jim McMahon, Vince
Jim
McMahon.
Jim McMahon, who the hell cares? That guy was confident, too.
Lakers not in five.
No, not in five?
No, I think it's over.
I think it'll be done with them. How about Miami? Way to go, Heat. Let's give the Miami Heat a round of applause for showing up for the playoffs.
Showing up,
man. Way to go. You put your uniforms on, tied your sneakers. It's about where it stopped, right?
Bam said they were going to give a fighting effort.
Where they score? They were down 60 at one point last night. Lost by, 50? Something like that last night.
That was embarrassing.
Way to go, Miami. Way to show up, man. Way to show up for a postseason series and get after it.
We need running clocks in sports.
I don't disagree with that at all. I'm 100% in favor of that. You know, it'll happen every once in a while at the high school level.
You know,
if you get to a certain point where, you know, the game is out of whack, they just continue to run the clock, whether it's football or basketball or something like that.
I am all too familiar with the running clock. I went to Hall McCarter Middle School, Bob.
Now, soccer is always a running clock, which is great.
Sure.
It's awesome that way, but I don't disagree with you. At certain points of games, whether it be the NFL or NBA or something like that, I mean, if you're going to put like Fatty McFatterson in the pitch in a baseball game like we
see it.
You know, call the game at that point in time, right?
Yeah, 15 after 3, 10 after 5.
That's right. That's like, Little League right there, baby. Yeah. And you know what? Don't get down by that much. Don't be a Colorado Rocky, okay?
Yeah.
Don't get your ass kicked early on, you know, in these games and have to, you know, face that running clock. And I know people will say, oh, gambling, tough. I mean, that's just the way the game goes. You gambled on it. This is the way it's going right now. You're down 30 after four. This thing's done, man.
The clock doesn't stop. Like, if it's like that Lions game last year where it's, you know, 48-7 and there's 15 minutes left in the fourth quarter, just keep that thing running.
Right.
Like, nobody, player safety, you know?
Exactly right. Yeah, we got to keep this thing moving along.
Yeah.
But bravo to the Miami Heat. Get tip of the cap to them for finishing off this season strong, man.
They announced the score at the end of the game, and then they showed Jimmy Butler dancing for Golden State after hearing Miami go absolutely blown apart.
Good for him. Awesome.
Like, tonight's final in Miami, 141-78, and Jimmy Butler just starts going nuts on the floor. It's like, all right, that's a troll job.
It's a great troll job. It's fantastic. I love it.
So you know who's the captain or the manager of Team USA, right?
Yeah, it is. It's Mark DeRosa. Yes.
Do you know who his favorite player in baseball is?
Oh, it's Bobby Witt Jr., right?
What did his start look like last year compared to this year? What is he do? What is he hammering during this 19-game hit streak? I mean, it's everything. So let's get into it. Let's give him some love. Hopefully don't jinx him. He's too good to be jinxed. And the way his body moves, like I said, if I'm starting a franchise today, give me number 7 from the Kansas City Royals. He's showing up every day to be the greatest player that this game's ever seen.
Being the greatest player that this game has ever seen.
Tough to hear that, because that is, the sport's been played for quite some time.
Yeah.
And to hear him say that. Now, again, I know that he's, you know, a huge fan of Bobby Witt Jr. He's going to be one of the focus points of that roster. It'll be he and Judge in that World Baseball Classic, which will be next year. Mark DeRosa, the manager, talking about Bobby Witt Jr. And look, I'm not going to sit up here and say that he's the best player in baseball, but he's top three, and he's not two, and he's not three.
Right.
Okay. I'm not saying what I'm saying, but I'm saying it.
Sure.
He just does things better than everybody else. And I'm going to take two players and basically say that he's better than both of them, because he kind of has both of their traits. And Ellie De La Cruz is one of the best baseball players I've ever seen, just because of like raw talent, from being a five-tool player with speed and everything like that.
The speed sets him apart from everybody else. It's crazy.
And what's crazy, he's not even leading the National League in stolen bases. Dips guy, Pete Criddle Armstrong, is for the Chicago.
I've been telling you, PCA, man. Yeah. Everybody kind of laughs at me. That kid's PCA. A good. That kid's a good baseball player, man.
PCA principal, bro.
That's right.
And then you look at Aaron Judge, and like the raw power, and now Judge is in a loaded lineup, so he's got the beneficial factor of getting the RBIs, but Judge is still almost leading in every single serious offensive category. And Judge is right now playing better baseball than anyone on the planet.
He's hitting over 400 right now. Had an opportunity last night, but struck out in a big situation.
Yeah. So, and Bobby Witt Jr. has raw power. Like, we've seen him hit home runs because of, like, his strength mixed with his launch angle and his bat speed. It's all kind of the redefined era of baseball that there is. Bobby Witt Jr. is what you would consider the total package. You could call him the Lex Luger of the MLB. And I thought we had Vern on yesterday, and we talked about it because 19-game hit streak is something to be talked about. Mm-hmm. And the Royals do play tonight in Tampa in a minor league ballpark. You would hope for everything that this is where the offense can get that surge of revival.
Well, it's a spring training stadium, and everybody hits good in spring training, so hopefully the spring training stadium lends itself to. But real quick on that one, look around baseball, man. The entire league is not hitting right now. I mean, it is a gross display of hitting across all of Major League Baseball. So while we focus on our guys and it's not been good, the rest of baseball isn't much better than what's going on hitting-wise here in Kansas City. I mean, Santander, the guy that we all coveted, at least I did, this offseason, he's not even hitting 200 right now.
No, he's 175, two home runs. So he's essentially done what Vinny Pasquantino's done.
Yep.
But I think when you look at Bobby Witt Jr., we talked to Vern yesterday about it, and I know like Vern's not one of those guys who once gets carried away in like records or get carried away in streaks or what could happen. He just wants to play the game and see where it all ends up at the end, which is a very good, sane mindset to have with baseball because of the longevity of the season. But he did mention something that was very interesting to me about Bobby Witt Jr. and the hit streak. And Whit Merrifield had a 31-game hit streak.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby Witt Jr. is...
Wasn't Witt's over two seasons, if I'm not mistaken?
I think it was from the season before, and then it carried over. So, but to put those two guys in the same sentence, you think to yourself, like, what are we doing here? Because obviously Bobby Witt Jr. is moons and planets and stars above Whit Merrifield's talent level. But it is true that Bobby Witt Jr., when you think about guys that can, like, be generational or be different, Bobby Witt Jr. can do that because of a 19-game hit streak that, in Kansas City, we're all watching tonight to see if he continues to get the hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, too, is that there are so many ways that he can do it. Like, he could literally hit a chopper to third, beat it out. It's going to be a hit. It's not going to be an error. He can hit a bloop. He can hit a liner in the gap. Like, there's just so many different ways that he can just get you. And not only that, but, like, he's the best in the game to do it. Like, De La Cruz is hitting 270. Bobby's hitting 320. Like, that's a significant difference.
Yeah.
And De La Cruz is one of the best baseball players that I've seen in my lifetime because of what he can do with his talent level. Aaron Judge is hitting 400. But Aaron Judge hits 10 hits and 20 at bats, and then goes like 7 without a hit and strikes out 5 times. You don't really see a lot of that in Bobby Witt Jr.'s game. And now he's at a point where it's like the league almost looks easy for him.
Yeah.
And he is must watch every time he comes up, hit streak or no hit streak. But he's a chance to get to 20 tonight. And you're not playing the greatest team in the world. And if he gets out of Tampa with a 23-22 game hit streak, it gets seriously even more on a national level.
Well, it's going to become a national story as long as he continues to get these hits and whatnot. And, you know, the MVP conversation, I'd love to be having it right now, but you've mentioned Judge hitting 403 times already, and so that's going to be tough to overcome, is that you're battling with Aaron Judge. It's high praise from Mark DeRosa, who is that manager of Team USA, so you know Bobby will be on that team. To say he's the best baseball player of all time, though, I mean, that is some high praise already for a guy who I don't even know that he's reached the prime of his career at this point in time. I think Bobby Witt's still in that early chapter of his career. And once you get 25, 26, 27, 28 in that kind of age range, that's when you normally reach the prime of your career. And so for DeRosa to heap that praise on him that he's the greatest of all time, I said, all right, let's pump our brakes a little bit here on Bobby Witt. He's trending to be one of the greatest of all time. How you become the greatest of all time, it's all semantics. It's all your choice, my choice, his choice. It doesn't matter who says what. Everybody's going to have their own opinions about that. But it's really cool to kind of be in that conversation. And I was talking to somebody yesterday about our two franchises here in Kansas City, and they said to me, they go, how lucky are the Chiefs and Royals to have Patrick Mahomes and Bobby Witt and to make those two picks and to hit those two picks and to change the entire dynamic of the franchise? Think about both of these franchises right now. Had the Chiefs not taken Patrick Mahomes and had the Royals not taken Bobby Witt with those two picks, where would these franchises be? at this point in time. I think they'd be a steady, good franchise with Andy Reid. Hell, Andy may have already retired if they don't have Patrick Mahomes, you know, kind of here in Kansas City. And where are the Royals without Bobby Witt Jr. right now, right? They're not one of the teams that everybody's talking about. It's amazing the difference that these two players have made for the entire landscape of sports in Kansas City. And if you don't go out and make those draft picks and hit on those draft picks like they did, the entire landscape of Kansas City sports has changed. And so you credit Dayton Moore and his staff for drafting Bobby. You credit John Dorsey and you credit Brett Veach and their staff for going out and getting Patrick Mahomes and making those right decisions, because it's not often you get franchise changing players. We just had a draft, right? Three rounds of an NFL draft. How many franchise changing players were drafted this year? I'm going to go ahead and say none. At this point in time, I'm going to say none, because usually it's a quarterback. And I don't know that we have that franchise changer right now. We are so fortunate as sports fans that our organizations made those two picks, made those two right picks to set this organization up, because the Chiefs are going to go as far as Mahomes does. And the Royals are going to go as far as Bobby Witt Jr. is. Those are the two leaders of these franchises.
Yeah, and you could take it one step further as well, because you could say the franchise, but also of the leagues that they represent.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes is clear the face of the NFL. Like, mm-hmm. We know that now. Like, once Brady stepped away, it was kind of the torch that was passed. Like,
yeah.
You're now the guy that's, like, got more accolades, more everything than anybody else. It's not even close. More titles, more everything, wins, playoff wins, all that sort of stuff. The numbers just don't lie.
Right, and I don't know if he's that face of the NFL if he's not here with Andy Reid. If he's in another organization, maybe we're talking about Josh Allen being the face of the NFL.
And maybe he's in Kansas City.
Maybe he is, yeah, the next year, yeah.
And so you look at that, and then you look at baseball, and you know the article that we have here from Awful Announcing about how numbers are up in mm-hmm. the month of April, like attendance-wise going to games.
Attendance is their highest in the month of April since 2008.
It's pretty interesting. Because that's kind of like right when baseball officially started to die.
Yeah.
It was about 08, at least in my opinion. Like after 01 and 02 when Bonds was doing his thing, then you had like that little lull of like baseball where it was still kind of hanging on by a thread. But then after about 08, like the NFL really kind of took three gears up. It was
right.
Just kind of like no one's catching us now.
Yep.
And I think the reason for that is I kind of agree a little bit with this article, but I kind of have still some beef to pick with it, because the marketing director is who they were talking to in this article.
Yeah, Major League Baseball. Yeah.
And she claims like the reason why she's seeing an uptick in baseball is because of the rule changing and the superstars that have been present at a young age. You mm-hmm. talk about Fernando Tatis. We talked about Judge. We talked about Cruz. Bobby Witt Jr. is another one. And I think, you know, the interesting point that you make is that you're saying that nowadays more kids and young adults are following more players than they are necessarily their own team.
Yeah.
Now, I will say that it was basically kind of like that when I was a kid. Now, I also am a kid who lived in a city where there was only football and baseball.
But you're also a product of growing up with an organization that wasn't worth a damn, and you
right.
really didn't have anything to root for from a baseball team standpoint.
And really neither one of them, because like in my mid-teens, the Chiefs were like
yeah.
putrid and terrible, and the Royals my whole life until about, I don't know, 2003, they had that year, I think, when they
right.
had the whatever.
A couple games over 500. That
and
was
then,
11 years until they
And then I had to wait
anything,
until
yeah.
13 and 14. And by then, I'm, you know, on my way to college. And I thought the interesting thing is, like, yeah, they have all these players, but they're still not pushing them. Like, and where I saw this article get really into it on Awful Announcing is that she starts describing as these players are growing up with, like, social media, and they really mm-hmm. baseball is figuring out they don't need to push these players, because if these players are going to be popular, they're already popular before they get into the league because they've been followed at a younger age. Paul Skeens at LSU
yep.
is an example that she brings up in an article. But it's also like you can still use this to push your product. Like, I mean, there's stories like this in football all the time that like, yeah, you may not like the Lions, but since you follow Jahmyr Gibbs on IG, you think he's funny and he has all these things, you start to root for that player. For
yep.
me as a child, it was Ken Griffey Jr., but where the social media was then was on games, was on commercials, was on
SportsCenter
promos, like they were showing them. And nowadays, they're relying on their social media following, which we know baseball players aren't always the most eccentric guys. Even Paul Skeens, when he got interviewed, we played about the bobblehead. He's like, yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
Whatever, I saw it. It's mm-hmm. like, baseball still has to do more, and they can really push up and really compete because basketball is giving you that opportunity, and nobody's really kind of stepped in to be like, hey, you want to go toe-to-toe with the NFL. You're not going to win, but you can win in the months where the NFL doesn't exist. And right now, the draft has happened. The schedule release is on Wednesday the 14th, and then there's nothing until August. And that's kind of like where baseball can shine. And yes, the Field of Dreams games help. Yes, like superstars in this league help. But push those superstars. Put them on. The Royals are on Fox on Saturday against Baltimore.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right?
But see, that's the difference between the NFL and everything else. Like, I was thinking about this yesterday. We've got to stop, like, everything to the NFL, right? The NFL is its own beast. It is over here in this category all by itself. How do we become the best of everything else, right? If you're baseball, how do you become the best secondary sport out there, the most popular secondary sport out there? And I really do think it's difficult for baseball for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're playing every single night. And number two, there's no national broadcast really for Major League Baseball. You have Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN. I know where I am on Sunday nights. By the time Sunday night rolls around, you're getting ready for the week. You're done. You're moving on and you're focused on the week ahead. You make your lunch, you get your homework done. You do all this kind of stuff, right? Everybody's kind of there on Sunday nights. That's their only national time slot where people can truly sit down and consume the game. The NFL's got national time slots all the time, and it's easy to push when you have that one day a week when it comes to the players. And so I've been like racking my brain for years now. We always say they don't push the players out there enough, but how can they do that in the situation that they are in? And I don't know what the right answer to that question is. If somehow you create a red zone channel to be the end all be all like the NFL has done, where people are watching that now over games, and then when they watch games, they go, these games are boring because I'm not used to having commercials and second and 10 and things of that nature. So how does baseball capture that? I don't know that they do, but I think you just have to do that in your own market. And I think right now, I think Kansas City's pretty captivated by what Bobby Witt Jr. is doing right now. But I think it's also a wake-up call to understand that it's not necessarily about the team for the kids anymore. It's about the player. I mean, we don't have a basketball team here. All you see are Steph Curry jerseys all around. They identify with Steph Curry. You see Bobby Witt jerseys around all the time. You see Patrick Mahomes jerseys on every corner of the globe. They're not necessarily Chiefs fans. They're Patrick Mahomes fans. And when Mahomes leaves, they're probably not going to be Chiefs fans anymore because they were Patrick Mahomes fans. And that's kind of the way it goes. So how do you embrace that next wave of ways that kids today and people today are being fans, where they're just rooting for that individual player and not necessarily for that individual team? And that's something Major League Baseball and all the other sports, for that matter, kind of need to figure out. How do we embrace that? And look, I think they're doing a pretty good job of that. I think baseball's at an all-time high right now. They mentioned the attendance being good, the rules changes, the quickness of games, the excitement, the exciting players are here right now. Mm-hmm. I think baseball is kind of on a heater right now. The only thing that's going to kill it is a lockout at 27. And that's why you have to try to avoid that as much as possible, because you're riding a heater right now. The last thing you want to do in these last couple of years where things are going great in baseball is to lock this thing out and to shut this thing down, because then you will lose everybody at that point in time.
Yeah, and hopefully that doesn't happen. But I think, you know, the other thing too that makes baseball interesting is that, like, you compare, like you say, like, you can't be the NFL. Not everybody can be Chick-fil-A.
Right.
But you can go pick their brain on how they made their drive-through system work. Like, oh, we never thought about putting somebody out ahead of the actual screen to where you can order on a tablet and then just pull forward.
Right.
Like, you don't have to be them. Like, you don't have to try to find the perfect chicken sandwich. You're not going to. That's just them. That's their thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what you can do is take some of their, you know, strategies and some of their tactics and kind of implicate them into your game, like the Field of Dreams game. Like, when it's Home Run Derby, you know, make the incentives a little bit sweeter. Like, I know you don't have a play-in tournament like the NBA tried to adopt something. Let's do a play-in tournament. The NFL doesn't have to do that because the NFL is week-by-week entertaining.
Yeah.
So when they get Thanksgiving and Christmas Day and Brazil and all these, that is their in-season stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you could have a Field of Dreams game. You could have every superstar be in the Home Run Derby, like Bobby Witt Jr., De La Cruz, Pete Alonso, Aaron Judge, and be like, hey, you win this, it's a $1.5 million check. Or something like that. Baseball has the money to do that.
Of course they do.
And you could have other little...
Is that enough money, though, for a guy like, let's just say, Bobby Witt Jr., who's signed a $300 million contract? You know, like,
I mean, I don't know what the number is. I just know that you could make it sweet enough, because that's where you lost the dunk competition. Like, the players are like, I'm not doing that. And you see a guy from the G League win it in back-to-back years, because there's not enough sweetness there for it.
Right.
Plus, they're already load management, so they're taking this as a time off anyway.
And baseball's the same way they've always looked at it. I got 3 days off, man.
Right, but the Home Run Derby, yes, exhausting. We don't do it. It's something that we always hear afterwards, like, oh, I'm exhausted. It's like, yeah, but like, it's one night. You don't have to necessarily play in the game if you don't want to. And if you do, you're playing two innings and you're done.
Mm-hmm.
You still get the next night. You've got the night before. It's not like that taxing, in my opinion, on the body for a baseball player. And everybody kind of fell in love with Bobby Witt Jr. last year outside of the metro area with his run at the Home Run
Derby.
That's
exactly right.
And he became, I still believe to this day, he became a face in Major League Baseball last year because of that Home Run Derby and then what he did afterwards where he hit magma hot level of heat and just went on that tear in July. And now all of a sudden, leading into it, we're riding a 19-game hitting streak. We're wrapping up this conversation. We start with Bobby Witt Jr. We end with Bobby Witt Jr. And now it's kind of up to baseball to be like, hey, if this is your guy and he's flashy and the mullet's cool and all the celebrations are fun on the bases, then push it. Come on and do it because you didn't do it with Harper. You didn't do it with Trout. You kind of tried to do it with Tatis and they did steroids. And now all of a sudden you kind of have this like player window where you could push Skeens, Cruz, and Witt and be like,
and the other thing that all three of those guys have in common, they all play in the eastern part of the country too. And it's a lot easier to promote stars when they're playing at 6 and 7 o'clock at night than 9 o'clock or 10 no o'clock doubt. At night if you're Bobby Witt, you know, or not Bobby Witt, Mike Trout, I mean, playing out in California. Hard to push those guys. Major League Baseball has three stars basically, you know, east of the Mountain Time Zone, and Bobby Witt Jr., Ellie De La Cruz, and Aaron Judge. You have an opportunity to market those guys early in the evening
and
to a lot of the
and
Skeens pitchers in Pittsburgh. Exactly. So you've got the opportunity to market those guys from a TV standpoint as well. I just think until Major League Baseball figures out that way to embrace that national package where, like, Sunday Night Football, we're all glued to the TV set because it's, you know, you want to see what's going on in Sunday Night Football. How does baseball do that at least one night of the week? I don't know if they pick a Wednesday and everybody's on a national platform on Wednesday night and there are no local broadcasts and every game starts at the same time and you know, or you have two windows, like a noon and a three. You have a 6 o'clock window and you have an 8 o'clock window in baseball where it's all on national television one night a week where you have to go there and they take you to this game and they treat it like an NFL day. Maybe that's what Major League Baseball needs to do and find that, like, how on Wednesday nights do we make this baseball night in America, so to speak, and we're just going to have a national broadcast. We're going to have our pregame show. We're going to have all of our announcers at different places. We're going to go there. We're going to flip you to this game. We're going to flip you to that game. We're going to show you in-game highlights. That's something Major League Baseball needs to think about and not do it on a Sunday night or a Saturday. Do it on a night when people are truly consuming television, and I think that's middle of the week.
And the crazy part about that is they have that, they do that, they don't do it enough, and it's the MLB at bat.
Yeah.
Because they have it, but they do it on Monday night, and then they go right to regional coverage at 6. And it's like, not the whole game. We don't need the whole game. Like, just regional coverage of, like, all the games. Because they'll do it. Like, it's cool. They'll put, like, four pictures up, and they'll be like, all right, so-and-so's up to bat in this game. So-and-so's on the mound in this game. And you're kind of just everywhere. And then it's just gone. It's like, no, more of this. More of this. This isn't addicting yet. Like, I need more of it.
But
like,
I think the problem with that is that you still have all these other games on all these other channels.
Sure.
And so people are going to this store and that store and this store and that store. Let's create a Walmart and keep everything under one roof where it's a one-stop shop. And everybody just goes to Walmart in every town. Right now, obviously, that's an extreme. But that's something like Major League Baseball needs to do. Control the broadcasts one night a week and dictate what everybody's going to see. And then you can truly market your players that way.
You definitely could. They definitely need to do it because they've got the absolute stud power surge in baseball right now if they could just push it. Coming up, none of the guys we talked about have a hot corner or a tough Tuesday. We'll get into three on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
Hey, what yo up, man?
On your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
We'll get into our hot corner here in a second, but somebody who's not on a hot corner, someone who's on a very nice island of contracts, George Kittle. Signed a 4-year, $76 million extension with the San Francisco 49ers as of like 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, done.
Getting $40 million guaranteed. George Kittle paid. George Kittle now shows up to 49ers camps.
That's right. $40
million. Your sources are wrong.
Wow.
Are they?
Yeah. I love that. Your sources are wrong. And then Taylor Lewan broke the story today, which I love even more because it makes all the insiders squirm a little bit, like the Schefflers of the world and the Ian Rappaports and whatnot. They're all squirming right now because Taylor Lewan broke the story. Kittle gets $35 million today in his bank account, minus taxes, and then $5 million more next year. That's how the $40 million bonus works. I mean, it must be nice just to wake up in the morning with that kind of change in your pocket, man.
Be awesome.
You get the notification from your bank.
Yeah.
Deposit there. Oh.
Is this one of these scam texts that says I owe the Missouri Department of Labor money? Is anybody else getting those, by the way?
No, I'm getting Department of Revenue.
That's it, yeah.
At a, what is it? They have facial recognition of me at a, what do you call it? Toll booth
that
I apparently went through.
Okay, so you got that too. Yeah, you're getting that too. Yeah, no, we're all getting that.
Have not been to a toll booth.
No,
in 15 years.
Well, there's no tolls in the state of Missouri. First of all,
exactly.
Not one toll in the entire state. So there's no chance that that's happened.
Failure to do so will be a suspension of your license, vehicle, and could serve jail time. Pay tomorrow or receive punishment.
Right.
Go F yourself.
That's right. Come find me. Seriously, come find me. Right?
Delete and report to junk.
Right. Yeah. That. I mean, good Lord. So I think everybody's getting those texts right now from the Missouri Department of Revenue saying you owe them money. You don't owe anybody money. Yeah, don't respond to anything on your phone.
They will call you and leave you a voicemail, and it will not say scam likely.
Right.
Or they will send you a letter. And it will say from the Department of Revenue with a stamp on it.
It'll probably be one of those where you have to like sign for at the door, certified mail or whatever they call that. You know, so don't respond to your phone. Just don't. I don't care who's calling you. Just don't answer it right now. There's no reason to. There's no reason to respond to text message. It's all a scam, man. It really is.
Grandmother now. If it's important, they'll leave a message.
Right. Well, it's
thanks,
true.
Drew.
Yeah. I mean, I've adopted that 30 years ago. I don't answer the door when people come over now. Obviously, man, showing up at 9:22 trying to schlep bugs. Or whatever he was doing the other day.
Till you get that, phone call of like you don't want anybody else to hear it.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
This Coach Mayfield of the baseball team just informed Dusty he's been cut.
Yeah.
Oh, you could answer that one, Nana.
Yeah.
Everybody at the house knows.
Yeah.
Oh, it's okay. There's always next year. I'm a junior.
Yeah. We'll take care of this. So anyway, just ignore all those updates or whatever on your phone. Hey, real quick, shout out to our friend Kathy in San Diego, L.A. today. She's having hip surgery this morning out there in California. So I know she wants to be drinking tequila and pounding shots right about now and eating fish tacos and doing all kinds of cool things. But she's going in for her surgery today. She's the sweetest lady in the world. So I want to wish her good luck today. You want to talk about sisterly love. Her sister's flying out from New York to take care of her. My sister would walk across the street to take care of me. Neither would my wife's, but anyway. But
you wouldn't have made it at West Point either.
No, yeah, exactly right. But shout out Kathy, man. Get better soon and knock him dead with that rehab, kiddo. You got it.
Praise be. That is a tough Tuesday at a hot corner for Miss Kathy, but you'll power through it, no doubt about
she'll
it.
Be great.
Who's your hot corner on this Tuesday?
My hot corner is the Colorado Rockies as an organization. I didn't realize how bad they were.
They're
right?
over Chicago.
They're worse than Chicago, right? You think the Chicago White Sox were bad last year? Oh, Colorado Rockies, hold my beer on this one. They are 4-24. The Colorado Rockies are right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, a loss today to Atlanta makes them 4-25, which would be the worst 29-game start in Major League Baseball history. Right now, they have the worst start in National League history dating back to 1901. Jeez. 1901. That's how bad the Colorado Rockies are. We just had in the NFL draft what people are saying will be the last player born in the 1900s drafted. Tyler Sloth or whatever that guy's
Chuck.
Name is. Showboat, whatever his name is.
Chuck.
He's supposedly going to be the last player born in the 1900s drafted into the NFL. The Colorado Rockies are on pace to be the worst team in the NL since 1901. I mean, we're talking 124 years now that they're the worst team in baseball. They are on pace.
Mm-hmm.
For 23 wins this year.
Love it. Rooting for it.
If I am too. If you are going to be bad, go down in a blaze, just like the Miami Heat. Go down in a blaze. If you are going to be bad, be historically bad. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the White Sox won 40 games last year.
Sure. I don't know.
Colorado's on pace to win basically half the amount of games that the White Sox won. And last year, the White Sox set the major league record for worst season of all time.
Yeah, it's never good when your record is basically the same as the date of the month that you're in.
Yeah.
424,
yeah.
Could be 425 by the other day. Yeah. And technically, as of today, it's 429.
What was their record on the fourth day? I mean, they probably didn't have the 24 losses.
No, it's like 421.
Yeah, they had the four, I guarantee you.
Oh,
that.
Yeah.
But they've lost seven in a row or whatever it's
Thank
been
God
right
the Royals
now.
Swept them.
But that's the Royals beat the Rockies. They're 424. You ought to beat that team, right?
Yeah, sweep that team. I mean, they're 14 and a half games out of first place. That's not too bad. They just play against the Dodgers, Giants, Padres, Diamondbacks. Good luck.
Is that their next three?
No, that's just their division.
Oh.
And then they're only 11 and a half out of the wild card.
Oh, so they got a chance. They got a chance. They can fix things. It's only a month, but 4-24. My God, on pace for 23 wins.
41 wins for the White Sox.
41 wins. So basically half the amount of wins.
That's rough.
Let's go bet there under on DraftKings. Speaking of four, I think that's where this guy's going to end. LeBron James, tough Tuesday. Back-to-back years, you've been down 3-1 in a series. They went and gave you Luka Doncic. Right now, that Nico Harrison guy from Dallas is like, oh, Luka's not playing defense and their team's not winning? Loving this life right now.
Does that guy get any sort of like credit back if the Lakers do get knocked out in the first round?
Oh, they're getting knocked out. Like, they're going to get knocked out by Minnesota the next time they play.
Does he like Kermit with the tea if they get knocked out? Like, if you're Nico Harrison, don't you just tweet Kermit drinking tea?
No, it's still bad. It's still the worst sports trade in my – and all time, but it makes it a little bit easier that he didn't win an NBA title, right?
What if he never wins an NBA title in LA?
I don't know. I mean, he could have won one in Dallas. He went last year as a 24-year-old.
Yeah.
He's been there a few months there. Yeah.
But LeBron's holding him down, you said?
No.
LeBron's been the best player on the team.
Is that what you said? LeBron's holding him back?
No, but I mean, Bron is 40. Yeah. He may not catch Kobe, who needs 5 to do that. He's only got 4. I say only, but he's got 4.
Yep.
This is kind of getting to the point where, like, you're running up against not other talent, you're running against father time. But I think the thing that's really kind of a mind F for me is that we're accepting failure, but also respecting greatness. Like, it is a failure to LeBron that he didn't get to Kobe and LeBron and to Jordan. He's not going to get to either one of them, probably. That's a failure in his mindset because he wanted to be the best champion in basketball. He's not going to happen. But also, like, we're watching this man at 40 still do what he's doing. And, like, my mind is like, he's not, like, capturing his goals, but he's the best basketball player that I've got to watch for their entire career. And at the same time, it's like, will this happen when Mahomes gets to like 5 Super Bowl titles, never gets to Brady, time catches up to him, and you're like, yeah, he failed in catching the greatest of all time in titles, but we just watched the greatest quarterback we've ever seen, and it just blows my mind.
Yeah, that's the thing. If he never catches Tom Brady, people are always going to have that yeah, but with Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah.
Same with LeBron.
Yeah, same with Tiger and Jack.
Yeah, it is. It is really unfortunate,
it is.
You know, that we have that, but such is life, right? I mean, that's kind of where we reside now when it comes to sports, and that's why I really want Patrick Mahomes to beat the record that Tom Brady has with those 7 Super Bowls, because I just don't want that yeah, but hanging over Patrick Mahomes. I know that I'm watching a better athlete and a better quarterback than what Tom Brady was. But Tom Brady is the greatest winner of all time. Same can be said about Derek Jeter. May not be the best player of all time. Tremendous winner. Tremendous winner.
High corner for you?
I go Jalen Green, only 7 points last night in last night's loss against Golden State. Supposed
probably
to be their best player.
Him.
So yeah, they are going to trade him. They're going to reconfigure this roster, and he's going to be
Nico Harrison taking over that team.
Guy hasn't gained a pound in 5 years in the NBA. Looks the exact same as he walked in.
An hour.
Jalen Green, man. So
I've
what?
Been pounded this week.
Oh, well, you did say that. I didn't. Dang, man. So Golden State up 3-1. They're going to move on.
They're going to move on. I'm not counting the Lakers out.
I'm not either.
They get 2 games in L.A.
Look, they're 5.5-point favorites, okay? They've got 2 games in L.A. The NBA needs the Lakers to be there. Nobody cares about Anthony Edwards. I mean, you can say all the stuff you want about him.
Jeez, man. It's just,
truth.
He is the new face of the league.
Maybe for you, but I'm talking about the casual basketball fan.
I think they would.
And the NBA, LeBron James drives people to the TV. Anthony Edwards just doesn't get me, the casual, less than casual fan, to pay attention. You may pay attention because you're a basketball fan. But he ain't moving the needle for guys like me and Maloney. I'm just being honest with you.
Fair enough.
And if you're not getting the ancillary people, you're not doing anything. You've already got the hardcore fan. How do you get the ancillary people in? LeBron James is a big part of that. I'm not counting the Lakers out. I'm not counting the NBA out. They fix things all the time.
What did you say last week? You like heels and we should embrace them?
Yeah.
That's Anthony Edwards.
Yeah, but it's just not a needle mover, though. I mean, it just isn't. Like, LeBron's a needle mover. Kobe was a needle mover. Shaq's a needle mover. Those are the guys you tune in to watch. I just don't feel the casual fan is tuning in to watch Anthony Edwards. You don't walk around town and people say, wow, did you see what Anthony Edwards did last night? Now, in NBA fan circles, maybe you guys do, but I'm telling you, reality is people will watch LeBron. They will not watch Anthony Edwards. They will not casually tune in and go, I got to see what Anthony Edwards is going to do tonight. Oh, LeBron's still playing? Let me see what he's going
to
do.
I'm glad I don't hang out with those people because I'm ready to see Anthony Edwards just poster people every night. What is he going to say to the crowd this night? What else is bigger than theirs? I don't know, but he got fined, $50,000 for it? Still not enough.
Slap on the wrist.
No doubt about it. Coming up on the other side,
I have a theory as to why I don't know if necessarily the offense will be back to what it was in 2018 and 19, but maybe I'm wrong, and I hope that I am. 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.